Shemais chapter 37. We continue today with Bezalel now as the chapter starts. Vayas Bezalel, though I don't know if that this means necessarily that Bezalel himself made it, as we saw, and as we see in many different places. The person in charge, the person leading the effort, sometimes calls everything done in his name. So, of course, Bezalel doing it can mean him doing it with everyone else, but it's different than the previous chapter, which talked about the Mishkan and the Kedushim, and it didn't say Bezalel doing it. It just said Vayasu, first Vayasu Chachmei Lev, and Vayasu Kol Chacham Lev, and then it said Vayas. So a singular verb, but didn't talk about Bezalel. Now we have Bezalel's name on it, so it seems to be important. It's probably because these are more important things, so it's like he's getting his name on it. And what we have is here in this chapter is him making all the important vessels, the Oren, the Kaporis, which is counted here separately as another thing. So we usually think of the Oren and the Kaporis on it as the same thing, or two parts of one thing, both in Parshas Terumah and even more here. It seems very clearly to be one more thing. Then the Shulchan, then the Menorah, then the two, something in between. The first, the Mizbech HaKtoiris, the internal Mizbech. Then a very short note about the Shemen and the Ketoiris. We'll talk about all of these things. And the other Mizbech, the outside Mizbech, Mizbech HaOle, and the Kir. This is the, that's already in the next chapter, the Mizbech HaOle. That's why we have to think about it tomorrow. But the important thing here is to realize that there's a few differences between this description and the description in Parshas Terumah. The most important one, as we discussed already yesterday, the order changed. So both earlier we started with the Urin and the other Kailim and then moved on to the Mishkan. And here the whole entire grand order is the opposite. But also internally to the Kailim, for example, the Mizbech HaKtoiris in Parshas Terumah was not there at all. It only appeared in Parshas Tetzaveh after the story, the mitzvah of Migdei Kehuna, after the Ketoiris. And here we have the Ketoiris, the Mizbech HaKtoiris, just in the place where it should be, seemingly. This seems to be more correct, along with the other internal vessels, along the other Kelnik and the Mishkan. Same for the Mizbech HaOle, which is here immediately after that, which seems to be the correct place, and the Kiyar. All these things are found later in the earlier text. So, again, the explanation might be that when we're making it, when Bezalel is actually making it, he's doing it in the rational order, as one would do to build the building. But previously in the commands, there seems to have been some reason for the order being different, by order of importance, and so the Mizbech HaKtoiris is considered less important. It doesn't belong there. Or for other reasons, there might be some other considerations that caused it to be in this order. Another thing which we'll notice is, if you like put the two stories, the two parshias side by side, you'll see that like 95% of it is word for word, the same language as the mitzvah, with the verb switched from a future or command imperative to past. Other than that, it's the exact same words. There's some slight variations, but seem to be not very significant. The most important thing missing here is that in the mitzvah, in Parshas Terumah, when it was said how you should make everything, each kli finished with what it should be for. So when we finished the story of the Urim, it said what the Urim would be for. When we finished the story of the Menorah, it said what the Menorah would be for. The Kaporis also, the Shulchan, all these had what they would be for. In other words, what the Avodah, what the things, the mitzvahs done with it are. And when we come here to the actual building it, we don't have that. And the reason for that is kind of simple. The reason for that is that we don't have the Avodah yet. Here we're talking about only creating or building the actual vessels, the actual building. The next step, for example, for the Oren, for putting the Eidus in it, putting the Luchas in it, or for the Menorah for lighting it, or for the Shulchan for putting the Lechem HaPonim on it, for the Kaporis for having, for it being even on the Oren, and for the God speaking to Moshe from between the two krivim, all of that didn't happen yet, so therefore it's not really part of this story. And actually, and therefore, if you follow the story further, you will see what corresponds to that. So this is probably another, people don't realize, we think we say usually that it's split into two, that the entire story of the Mishkan is said twice, once in the mitzvah and once in the actual making of it in Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei. It's actually at least three times, because the mitzvah of making it in Parshas Terumah includes these two parts. One is how to make it, and the second is what it's for. So the how to make it and gets its implementation when it was made in Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei. But the actual making, the actual work that is done with it, the Avodah, the Ashras Hashchina, all the things that are done with it, are some of them are in Parshas Pekudei in the end, when it talks about the Mishkan being set up, but even more of them are even later in Parshas Vayikra. In some sense, we see in Parshas Emor, for example, again, the mitzvah of the Lech Ma'aponim, the mitzvah of the Menorah, and again in Parshas Ba'aloyischa, the mitzvah of the Menorah, those seem to all correspond to these parts of what they are for, and in other words, being part, to be part of the story of what we do with the Mishkan, not only of what the Mishkan was built. So in that sense, all of that is part of the fulfilling the promise, so to speak, of Parshas Terumah Tetzav. One more interesting comment about the comparison is that, as we spoke, we have the three or four, depending on how you count internal kailim, right? The urn and the krut, the urn and the kapayres, the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach haktoyres. And then what we have, some we do have something interesting here, which is a small short note on him making the shemen hameshcha and the ktoyres asamim. So these two things were discussed. We gave a long recipe for them in Parshas Kisisa. So, and here we do not have. So it's interesting. This is the only thing that is repeated, but not at length. There isn't a copy paste of every detail of how it was made, but only a short note saying that it was made and it's in the right place. In other words, Shemen HaMishcha, I don't know why it's exactly here, but it was in Parshas Kisisa next to the Ktoiris. These two things are similar, like similar recipes or similar materials. Probably that's why they belong together. In any case, we have the note here, and without any lengthy explanation of what it is, and seems like the understanding of this must be that, as we've explained, that the story of building the Mishkan, of creating it, is a really happy story. It's something that the Pusik wants to elaborate at length. What the Shemen HaMishcha was made out of, what the Ktoiris was made out of, those are just implementation details. It's, of course, part of the mitzvah. If you want to do it in later generations, probably also have to do it in that way. But it's not, there isn't like, it's not such an exciting story for him to tell us how it was done. It's not part of the like celebration here going on. So that's this chapter. And all the other details, as I said, are more or less repeats of how it was done there. So I will not repeat them.